Happy New Year. I appreciate at least some of you were willing to go with me on that. Because, of course, with Advent, it's not just about looking good in purple or the wreath, which will be covered in greens later, don't worry. Advent is also the beginning of the church year, the restarting of our common life together, the restarting of our cycle of worship throughout the year. So, as with any new beginning, we are left with the question, what does it mean to begin well? As we start out on this new year, how will we enter into it? And it can be a challenge. It can be difficult to let go of the old and enter into the new. Notice that even in the bulletin, we had trouble resisting the urge to cling to the Gospel of Luke, which still appears, and embrace Matthew and this new gospel journey. And of course, each of our readings this morning and the collect also raise this question of what are we entering into? What are we called to bring into this new year? And we are reminded that in Advent, we have a double expectation. That yes, we celebrate the incarnation, we celebrate the expectancy of Mary as she prepares to give birth to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, but we are also reminded that Jesus will come again in great glory. Even as we look back, we look ahead and ask, what does it mean to welcome him? I'm always reminded of, on this Sunday, of a bumper sticker that the church secretary in my first church had pasted on her window. It said, "Jesus is coming, look busy." So Jesus is coming. How are we to look busy? And Jesus at least begins to answer for us in this gospel reading. He tells the disciples to keep awake, to stay aware, because no one knows that day or hour, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. And if this were an adult forum about the theological implications, we would have plenty to discuss about what it means for one member of the Trinity to know something that the other does not. But I think we can all be grateful that this is not an adult forum. And we will not be discussing the complexities of Trinitarian theology. But we have this uncertainty, we have this unknowing, maybe even this anxiety that the day is coming, even when we do not know the hour or the Jesus continues, "For as the days of Noah were, so it will be the coming of the Son of Man." Of course, Noah and the world before the flood, not the most auspicious parallel for us. When the world was so given over to, what was Paul's list? Revelry, drunkenness, debauchery, licentiousness, quarreling, not to critique how you spent your Thanksgiving. But the world was given in over to sin, to the breakdown of relationships, to conflict and confusion. And the Lord, our God, looked at this world of sin and conflict and confusion with dismay, decided to wash it clean with the waters of the flood, ridding the world of almost all life except for those select few on the ark. But here, Jesus focuses not on the consequences of that cataclysm, not on the consequences of the flood, but what it was like for those people before the flood, those who did not enter into the ark. And he reminds us that they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And notice that these are all activities with an expectation for the future. These are all people going about their daily lives, assuming that things will continue as they expect, as they have become comfortable and familiar with. You marry in hope of a future to come. So we begin with this inauspicious parallel of all of these people, comfortable, sure that they know what the future will hold, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and suddenly everything changes. Of course, we don't expect quite the cataclysm of the flood, God forbid, but still Jesus reminds us that this is a season of preparing for something radical and different. The incarnation that was and the return to come. So what does it mean for us to be ready for this new beginning? Especially because we may feel like we live in a world of conflict and confusion, of a certain amount of sinfulness. Even while we might not like the parallel with Noah and the antediluvian world, we may wonder about our own world of conflict, confusion, and what it could possibly mean to welcome Christ into the midst of it. What does it mean to greet him again faithfully? Are we meant to be filled with anxiety, fear, uncertainty? Is that the faithful response that Jesus expects from us? Because I know that these days, all too often, I find myself filled with fear and anxiety and uncertainty. And as part of my efforts to do something in the midst of that welter of emotions, the other week I was at a training for faith leaders in civil disobedience. And one of the trainers that day, who is a seasoned activist, made an observation that has lingered with me. She said, in these moments of chaos and confusion, when the structures and systems that we have become so habituated to are being torn down, when our expectations for the future are being thrown into confusion, yes, it is a time of anxiety, but it is also a time of opportunity. The loss of those systems, of those structures, invites us not only to mourn their passing, but to consider how we may build back better. What systems and structures we want to define not life as we knew it, but life of the world to come. Now, don't worry, this is not when I tell you all to go out into the street and begin to engage in civil disobedience. Maybe some of you are called to that ministry. But I don't think every Christian requires civil disobedience to live into their vocation. Though I do think each of us faces that question of what does it mean to imagine a better world, to live as if something different is possible. Because I think we are not meant to imagine the second coming with fear or anxiety, as tempting as they may be, but we are meant to look to it with hope, with joy, with the belief that something new will be something better. That our lives don't have to be defined by confusion and conflict, but that our relationships could be renewed. with each other, with our God, that the way that we engage in life together could be different. As we talked about, as we lit our first Advent candle, and there's something beautiful and almost defiant about an Advent wreath, welcoming new light into a world as it gets literally darker and darker, that our hope, our life together, our expectation, our preparation for Jesus' coming, both once before and again, is defined by an invitation to hope. So, as you imagine what a different world might look like for you and for us, because remember that there is never a singular Christian identity, that each of us in our individual hope is also called to share that hope together. The Christian is a collective, a communal identity, that none of us has to bear hope alone. But we are called, each of us and all of us, in our own way, to bear hope together. I invite you to think of that way that we describe the Virgin Mary, that expectant mother, as Theotokos. We describe Mary as God-bearer, Theos Tokos. Well, I give you a new name to match the vocation of this Advent season, of this time of new beginnings. I believe that each of us is called to bear hope, to be an Elpetokos, in the Greek for elpis, hope, tokos, bearer. So, whatever a new world means for you, whatever the hope of Advent means for you, I hope that you will bear it well and that we can bear it together, each of us, an elpitokos for God. Amen.